God is about to turn up the heat. This is part two of a three-part miniseries looking at the 10 plagues of Egypt. If you haven't seen part one yet, I would highly encourage you to do so before watching this part. For your convenience, I've linked it below. Since this is part two of the series, let's jump right into the fourth plague, flies. This one was so annoying. If you're like me, once a fly is spotted in your house, you are on a mission until it is eliminated.
Nice.
It's right there. You want to film that? There it is.
Now, it wasn't just a fly or a few flies. This was a plague of flies that was counted by the swarm. What's interesting about this plague and all the other plagues in this video, they only affected the people of Egypt and did not affect the people of God living in the land of Goshen. This plague targeted the Egyptian god Khafre, the beetle god of creation. Now you might be asking, I thought the plague was flies. Hold on, let me explain. The Hebrew here isn't specific about what type of flying insect is present. The Hebrew literally means swarms. So it was probably a mixture of beetles, flies, and even mosquitoes. Yikes. Here's why it was a judgment on Khafre, the beetle god of creation. Ancient Egyptians believed that insects in general, and beetles in particular, spontaneously generated into existence. That's why beetles were connected to the creation. So if beetles came from nothing, it must have been a beetle god that created all we see, right? That's why God was like, hey, you think all of this came to be because of a beetle-headed god? Let me spontaneously generate all the swarms you want. Again, this was God giving them all they wanted of something they held sacred. Plague 5, the death of livestock. Now, this one ratchets up the disaster intensity quite a bit. God sends a plague to wipe out all of the livestock in Egypt. Now, there were a few Egyptian gods and goddesses that were associated with cattle, but the most prominent was Hathor, the maternal goddess of love. Hathor had more temples in ancient Egypt than any other deity. This disaster also had a profound economic effect, as livestock is vital not only for food itself, but for transportation, military service, crop production, and more. But remember, this plague only affected the Egyptians. The Israelites were unscathed. Exodus records that Pharaoh sent his officials to investigate, and they discovered that the Israelites had not lost a single animal. But even so, Pharaoh's heart remained stubborn, and he still refused to let the people go. Plague 6, festering boils. Now, this one is different from all the previous plagues because it directly targets the Egyptians personally. The previous 5 plagues were all external things, like too many frogs or the death of cattle, but this one targeted the people's health. This plague was so terrible that even the magicians were unable to stand before Moses because the boils had broken out on them and on all the Egyptians. Like the previous plague, there were many Egyptian gods and goddesses of healing. Isis was the most prominent. Isis was said to provide healing, not only to the elite class in Pharaoh's household, but to the common people as well. Plague 7, hail. Now, before this plague kicks off, God speaks very directly with Pharaoh. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you don't, I will send more plagues on you and your officials and your people. Then you will know that there is no one like me in all the earth. By now, I could have lifted my hand and struck you and your people with a plague to wipe you off the face of the earth. But I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth. But you still lord over my people and refuse to let them go. So tomorrow at this time, I will send a hailstorm more devastating than any in all the history of Egypt. Quick, order your livestock and servants to come in from the fields and find shelter. Any person or animal left outside will die when the hail falls. Now, I want to talk about 3 things concerning this plague. First, what Egyptian god or goddesses did this plague target? Well, that would be Nut, the goddess of the sky. She is married to Geb, the god from the earth from Plague 3. God was showing that there was no contest between him and their puny sky god.
I will not be bullied by that.
Puny god.
Second, let's talk about what the disaster actually entailed. Exodus 9:23, no matter your translation, reads that this storm produced thunder and hail. The tricky thing is the third thing. Let me read it in the King James Version and the New Living Translation to compare. The Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed towards the earth. Other translations typically fall into one of these two categories, either fire, like the KJV, or lightning, like the NLT. Here's the thing, though. They're actually saying the same thing. What would cause, quote, fire to run along the ground? Lightning. That happens all the time. It is a major cause of forest fires.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says there are 360 fires burning statewide right now. They come after storms delivered more than 11,000 lightning strikes.
The differences in these translations is one of cause and effect. Lightning was the cause and ground fires were the effect. Why I even bring this up is the portrayal of this disaster in Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments and The Prince of Egypt movies. In The Ten Commandments, DeMille shows a hailstorm with fire just miraculously starting on the ground, even when there's nothing to burn, like a stone floor. In The Prince of Egypt, we see the hailstones on fire like they were meteors entering the atmosphere. Now, both of these understandings of this disaster are perfectly okay, but they are needlessly sensational. The plain reading of the text, no matter the translation, can be understood to be ground fires caused by lightning. Third, let's talk about livestock. In verse 22, God says to Moses, "Lift your hand towards the sky so that hail may fall on the people, the livestock, and all the plants throughout the land of Egypt." Now, how could that be if in verse 6 of this very same chapter, we read that all the livestock of the Egyptians died due to that fifth plague, the plague on the livestock? Is this a contradiction in the Bible? No, it's actually not. See, there's an assumption that we make that leads us to believe that it's a contradiction. When we read these plagues, we see them take place over just a few pages, so we assume that they probably happen in pretty rapid succession, maybe just a few days. But the scripture never gives us a timeline for all 10 plagues. We do get durations for some of the plagues, though. When we do the math between what we do know and using some clues from the text about when crops were in season, we can surmise that the length of the 10 plagues in total was at least 3 months long, but no longer than a year. For the sake of this argument, let's say it was 6 months total. That's my personal guess, and it's still on the quicker side of the 3 months to a year scale. Now, stick with me here. If all of the livestock in your state died from disease, do you think all the farmers and ranchers and those who transported goods via animals wouldn't replace them? I mean, I think those animals would be replaced, at least in part, as soon as possible. Now, where would those replacement animals come from if they were all dead in Egypt? Well, Nubia to the south is a really good place. Now, don't you think that Nubian businessmen wanted to get a premium on their livestock and would take advantage of this situation? You bet. But there's an even closer place, God's people in Goshen. Their livestock was fine. They could have easily sold some of their livestock to replace what was destroyed in Egypt. Or the Egyptians could have confiscated their livestock because the Hebrews were their slaves after all. Bottom line, there is no contradiction. There was plenty of time for more livestock to be acquired by the Egyptians, and that even explains why some of the officials from Pharaoh's court left immediately after Moses' announcement of this plague to bring their livestock indoors. After all, they didn't want to lose all their livestock again. Plague 8, locust. When Moses entered Pharaoh's court to announce this plague, Pharaoh offered God a compromise. God rejects that compromise, and incredible swarms of locusts enter Egypt from the east using a wind current. After all the hail, the economy was on the brink of disaster because the storm greatly damaged crops growing in the fields around the Nile. God tells Pharaoh that the locust will devour what little is left of your crops after the hailstorm, including all the trees growing in the fields. He's warning Pharaoh that economic collapse is imminent. Pharaoh's officials now came to Pharaoh and appealed to him. "How long will you let this man hold us hostage? Let the men go to worship the Lord their God. Don't you realize that Egypt lies in ruins?" Pharaoh wouldn't allow all God demanded of him, so locusts came and ate what was left of the Egyptian economy.
Swarms join up with other swarms to form gigantic plagues several billion strong and as much as 40 miles wide. They will consume every edible thing that lies in their path.
This targeted Shu, the peacekeeping god of the wind. Plague 9, darkness. Have you ever been in a cave when they turned out the lights? That's darkness. You can feel it. It's unnerving. That's the kind of darkness that we're talking about here. The Lord said to Moses, lift your hand towards heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with a darkness so thick you can feel it. For 3 days, the sun was supernaturally blocked over Egypt. Why would God do this? Well, one, it showed the Egyptians that he was in control over the sun, not Re, the chief god of Egypt. Second, there's something psychological that happens when Earth's normal view of the sun occurs. I remember the reactions to those experiencing the total eclipse in 2017.
We've been told people start sobbing. If for some, it's just a life-changing event. And we may start doing that too. But I'll get my act together, guys, and I'll be back to you. I promise you. Guys, back to Chicago. Sorry about this.
And that was for just a moment. Can you imagine 3 days? The Egyptian people must have been scared out of their minds. But there was one plague left. But that will have to wait till the next video. So make sure you're subscribed below. Before we go, let me know in the comments one thing that you learned in this video. It really helps me as I develop upcoming content for you. Also, be sure and hit the like button so that YouTube knows this is content it should promote. Share it on Facebook if you think someone in your friend network would find all of this interesting. And again, be sure to subscribe so that you know when the next video comes out, because you don't want to miss that final plague, do you? Before we go, a word about LifeWord. They are doing incredible work all around the world, bringing the good news of Jesus to even the most remote locations through radio and the most connected locations through the internet. If you haven't checked them out already on YouTube, be sure to do that. It is content worth watching. We'll see you next time. Grace and peace.